You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
On June 4th, President Obama spoke in Cairo. He addressed the problem of the increasing tensions between the West and the Muslim world. He spoke generously about Islam and Islamic contributions to world culture. But some observers were disappointed with at least one aspect of the speech. President Obama spoke in support of freedom and democracy in the Islamic world, but only in general terms. He offered few specifics on how the United States might promote human rights and reduce corruption among its allies in the Middle East. One of those people who was hoping for more from this speech was Stephen Zunis. Stephen Zunis is a professor of politics and international studies at the University of San Francisco. He joins us by phone from California. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Now, Obama delivered this speech in Cairo, and Egypt is a key ally of the United States. Did Obama directly address the issue of democratic reform or corruption in Egypt?
Not at all. He did make, to his credit, he did make a few nods to pro-democracy activists in that country, both secular liberals and moderate Islamists, by making sure that a number of them received invitations to his speech. He did not give the customary praise of his host, as people tend to do in making a giving a major address in a foreign capital. But at the same time, though he avoided embracing Mubarak too much, he did not make specific calls, either in the speech or otherwise, for the Egyptian dictator to release political prisoners or open up the political system. In fact, in an interview with the BBC just a couple days before the talk, he refused to, despite prodding by the interviewer, to refer to Mubarak as an authoritarian leader or to directly address the question of the thousands of political prisoners in that country.
Now, Obama hasn't always been so reluctant to criticize Egypt or other allies of the United States. I believe in 2002 he had some other sharper comments, did he not?
Oh, very much so. He was, when he spoke at an anti-war rally in Chicago in October of 2002, this was back when he was an Illinois state senator, the primary purpose of his address was spelling out his opposition to the proposed U.S. invasion of Iraq, and his argument was that it would not enhance U.S. security. Indeed, it was a quite a prescient speech in many respects. But one of the points he made was, if we were really interested in our security, that we should fight to, in his words, to press our so-called allies, Egypt and Saudi Arabia, and he mentioned them by name and referred to them as so-called allies, to stop the repression and to stop maintaining a corrupt and autocratic system, which gives people so little hope, little prospects of a good education, of a solid future, that they are drawn in to support extremist organizations and terrorists.
You've alluded a little to the repression and the corruption. What is the real nature of the regime in Egypt? What kind of government do ordinary Egyptians have to deal with on a day-to-day basis?
Mubarak has ruled that country with an iron fist for nearly 30 years now under martial law. There are, the elections are traditionally rigged. He does not allow any independent observers. And, of course, he and his allies tend to win by overwhelming majorities. He's banned the largest political opposition party and has made it very, very difficult for the remaining parties to distribute their own publications or to do much open organizing. His leading challenger in the past election, he has jailed on trumped-up charges. Not a very open system at all. There is a any gatherings of more than five people are banned without without permission. There have been a number of cases where, you know, peaceful demonstrators calling for a more open democracy, you know, have been brutally beaten. Torture is ongoing on an administrative basis. There, Amnesty International reports thousands of political prisoners, and we're not just talking about Islamist opponents. I mean, we're talking about, you know, secular liberal Democrats like Ibrahim Saldin of the who's a leading who's a political scientist, a PhD, who has actual dual U.S. Egyptian citizenship. I've worked with him, co-authored a recent article, a chapter in a book with him. Very, very moderate, Western liberal fellow. You know, the kind of person you would think that the United States would support. His center, the Ibn Khaldun Center for Development Studies, has been periodically shut down, and he and his colleagues have been put on trial and trumped up charges. He's in exile right now, facing a new trumped up charges. I should underscore the fact that the United States, the taxpayer, spends over $1.5 billion propping up this regime every year.
Another key ally of the United States in the Middle East is Saudi Arabia. Is the government there as stifling as the Mubarak regime is in Egypt?
Oh, it's worse. This is a country with no constitution, no elections, save for a few years ago they had a election for a powerless advisory committee for a hand, full of municipalities, male-only kind of thing. It has the second highest execution rate in the world by beheading. It is no open exercise of religion except Islam is allowed. Very misogynist society, and women are far worse than Iran in terms of this treatment of women. I mean, women aren't even allowed to drive cars or to the restrictions on clothing and other and enforced segregation is by far the worst in the world. Yet they because of their oil wealth, they don't get much in the way of direct U.S. aid, but they do get subsidized arms shipments. In fact, they are the largest purchaser of American arms and security equipment in the world.
And on this trip or in his speech in Cairo, did Obama offer any criticisms of Saudi Arabia?
No, not at all. And in his meeting, his visit to Saudi Arabia immediately before going to Egypt, he just praised the warm words to his host, the king. Yeah, his comments on democracy were good in the speech, and since he talked about this is not just sort of a Western value, these are universal values, and while he emphasized that the United States or no Western nation should try to impose a particular form of democracy or to choose which candidate should win or anything like that, He didn't mention any country by name or mention any specific call for change.
Now, what has been the reaction? What has the reaction been in the Middle East among democratic groups or more progressive forces to this major omission in Obama's speech?
Well, generally the speech was well received, and I think for good reason. But again, this particular angle was quite disappointing. Part of it, I think, is a concern that the United States, in rejecting the neoconservative line of the Bush administration, which used democracy promotion as an excuse for invasions and threats and imperialism, that the U.S. is falling back to this idea that, we should make our relations based solely on narrow strategic criteria, whether they're friendly to our interests or not, and not raise legitimate concerns regarding human rights. I mean, the problem was, of course, with the Bush administration approach was not only was an excuse for illegitimate policies such as the invasion of Iraq, but that the Bush administration continued to support, in fact, sent more arms and aid to autocratic regimes in the Middle East than any preceding administration. It was totally hypocritical. I mean, Bush would talk about, oh, we have to spread democracy from Damascus to Tehran. And while I think everybody would agree that Syria and Iran could use more democracy, there's nothing about spreading democracy from Riyadh to Cairo, the Saudi and Egyptian capitals. So the critiques of the Bush administration policies, I think, are quite valid. But I think what's happening is that it appears that because of this overreach and hypocrisy of the Bush administration, that Obama's being a little gun shy about supporting human rights and democracy in a legitimate manner. I mean, it's like as if Bush has done to democracy what Stalin did to socialism.
And how might the U.S. and the other Western countries help to promote real changes in places like Saudi Arabia and Egypt?
Well, I think for one thing, the primary thing is that stop propping up those governments with all this security assistance, or make it conditional at least. I mean, I don't think the United States can, or any outside power can, impose democracy. What we've seen in the 60 or 70 countries that have made the transition in the past three decades from dictatorships to some form of democracy, it's generally not had anything to do with outside pressure, and it's almost always been from a democratic civil society organizations from within the country engaging in nonviolent action, the kind of thing we've seen from Philippines to Serbia, from Chile to Mali to most recently places like Nepal and the Maldives. But this is going to have to come from within, and that's nothing the United States can really impact upon much. But I mean, I guess there could be some funding for civil society organizations, but even that could backfire, given the history of U.S. intervention in the area. So that may not be the best approach either. But the primary thing is just to stop providing the tools of repression to these regimes. I mean, for years, the United States has propped up these dictatorships with security assistance and all these weapons and things like that suppressed incipient pro-democracy movements, and then try to rationalize it by saying, oh, it's part of their culture, they don't have democracy, and we shouldn't try to push this kind of thing. And then we send billions of dollars of aid to Israel because it's supposedly the sole democracy in the Middle East. And although Israel is an exemplary democracy, at least in terms of its Jewish citizens, its violations of international humanitarian law are pretty atrocious as well. So, it's really a self-defeating policy because, what we find is that despite the claims of President Bush and others that the 9/11 attacks and related anti-Americanism is because people hate our freedoms, the reality is that most people in the Middle East don't see American freedom and democracy at work. They see Made in USA on tear gas canisters and in bomb casings. They associate America with repression, not with freedom.
Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today, Stephen.
My pleasure.
I've been talking with Stephen Zunis. He is a professor of politics and international studies at the University of San Francisco. You can read Stephen's article on Obama's Cairo speech by going to the link on our webpage at coopradio.org/redeye.